So, we're all here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, how is everybody doing?
Ready to hear about good karma.
Ready to hear about good karma. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, ready for the purification? Okay, well, first of all, let me do a little purification here. Let me apologize to Wall if I was flip about that comment about the Ten Commandments and they're being superficial. I really wasn't referring to Christianity in any way. I was really thinking of the Ten Commandments in their prehistoric, you know, Hammurabi Code, Hittite Empire, archaic manifestation, which is very much a kind of a punishment reward system. And you know, the first several of those commandments are all about establishing a monotheism and getting rid of the polytheism. And I mean that was a very Iron Age legalistic system, that the Ten Commandments in and of themselves, and you know, six of the ten had the death penalty attached to them. It's, you know, I know Christians, the entire Judeo-Christian tradition now does not aspire to that kind of practice. So I'm thinking more of that kind of, the kind of ethics we learned as kids, you know, where things were very, you know, black and white, and you operated on a punishment reward system. And that's what I meant by simplistic, where there were good people and bad people, and the bad people should be punished, and there's the us, the good ones, and the them, the bad ones. Now, obviously, Christianity, as soon as you get to the New Testament, that's a whole new ethics. I mean, it's true they start off with a Ten Commandment kind of basis, but then the New Testament adds that quite extraordinary flourish that one must, the most important commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, there you go. That's, you know, you're undermining the whole us and them category. You're establishing the, you know, the higher importance of one's mental state, one's attitude. We're talking about loving one's neighbor as oneself, equalizing self and others. I mean, in very many ways, it's similar, frankly, to Buddhist ethics. And as far as Buddhist ethics goes, and Christian ethics, there's not so much difference. I mean, there is a difference in terms of animals. Animals are just here for the use of human beings, at least in the old-style Christian ethics. Now, even that's changing very rapidly, and some of the people I admire most, their ethical practice, actually, are the Catholic nuns, you know, the ones that are being, you know, investigated by the Vatican, or at least were until we have this grand new pope who is very interesting, and who's added his masala to the whole ethical mix, hasn't he? Right away he said, let's stop talking about sex, and let's talk about maybe things that are more important. So, Christian ethics evolving too, and we'll see. This pope, I just can hardly wait to see the Dalai Lama meet Pope Francis. This will be a wonderful moment. And, you know, I'm a recovering Catholic. You know, once you're a Catholic, you know, you're... I'm an ethnic Irish Catholic, what can I say? So those things, you know, they still pull at my heartstrings. It gave me goosebumps to read those comments from Pope Francis. I just thought, wow, this is going to make a lot of Catholics really happy who have been kind of embarrassed by the fundamentalist trend and the kind of the oppressive, oppressive trends of in the more recent unless I get on shaky ground again and far back. If I go back in history also, there's a little problem there. But yes, and Venerable Domodino and I were just, a couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the website of a group of Catholic nuns who have turned their monastery in Ireland into an eco-monastery. And they are running, like, seminars and workshops to get other parishes worldwide on board to teach ecological responsibility. Now, of course, this is completely, this is revolutionary, and, you know, to solve the problems of the world, to turn around the ecological destruction of the world, we're going to need everybody. You know, we're going to need everybody, all hands on deck, to solve this problem. No one group is going to be able to do it. No one country is going to be able to do it. Everybody's going to have to realign their values and work together. So that's an incredible thing, that if both the Buddhists and the Catholics and the Protestants and all of us all get together and concentrate perhaps on more important ethical values than have been in the past, such as conformity. Yeah, so but that was a flip comment to make. So I do apologize, and you know, we're both students of Hisayunsa Dalai Lama, and one of his most important, you know, he says he has three objectives. One of his most important objectives is to work for interfaith progress and interfaith relations in on the world, and he does all the time. It's usually the first topic he talks about in a public talk. And interestingly, I will tell you a little story. when I was in Dharamsala and I took an ordination, took my ordination with the Dalai Lama, and I got to, you know, go into the His Holiness's private chapel in the his headquarters there in Dharamsala. You know, I was at the long end of a long line of Tibetan, young Tibetan monks, maybe like 100 or so, and then there's like 4 or 5 of us Westerners. The woman right in front of me was from Korea, and I was like maybe the last or the second to last in seniority. And anyway, we go in and we all sit down in his meditation hall there, and he speaks to each group. And so he spoke to the Tibetans who were coming, who had come across the mountains, who had walked across the Himalayas for their ordination. He spoke to them first. Then he spoke to the local Tibetans who were ordaining. And then he spoke to the South Korean. And then he spoke to us Westerners. And you know what he said to us Westerners? Here we are, we're sitting there, you know, we've got shaved heads and we're wearing robes for the first day in our lives. And we're obviously, you know, committed Buddhists, you know. And he says, you know, it's probably better that you all stay with your religion of origin. And I think, oh darn, I'm in the wrong place. And he says, it's probably better for people to stay with their religion of origin. They have, you know, you learn things when you're young that are very, they impact you deeply. And, you know, you have your cultural associations and, you know, your community. And the last thing that we want is a lot of, like, fundamentalist Buddhists, Western fundamentalist Buddhist converts running around talking about how Buddhism is the one true religion. So anyway, this is very important, and you know, he's addressing each group with what he is concerned about. So of course he's concerned with the importance of us each as ambassadors, as representatives of him, actually, in the world. And he wants, if we're going to represent him, he wants us to reflect an absolute respect for other faiths. Anyway, I don't think anybody practices the Ten Commandments in the prehistoric first millennium BC manner anymore. So I still do feel safe with saying that's probably more simplistic than what we're talking about here. Anybody any comments on that topic?
You have certainly studied a lot of things in depth. I would not have known. Oh, that's the Hittites from
I like history. I'm very interested in history. History helps, it undermines your sense of simplicity. That's right. It gives you a sense of the complexity of what we're experiencing right now in the world and the huge array of causes and conditions and how difficult it is to say us and them. Because if you go back a little, just not so far back, them is us.
We were them.
And the cycle of injustice that has been twirling around in samsara over many, many, many millennium, probably since, surely as soon as we settled down and started being agrarian. Maybe as hunter-gatherers we were so spread out. But even then, probably territory has always been an issue, and one people is here and another people once